ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. I am Team Ready Sai's Bishu, and welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Today is April 26, 2018. The Aradhana Mahotsavam has just concluded in Prashanthi Nilayam, and one of the speakers in the morning was Mr. Ajit Popat from London, and he said how when someone asked him if Swami will appear again, he said, when did Swami disappear in the first place? He is always here. If you are not able to see something which is very much there in front of us, the problem is not with the object, it is with the eyes. We need to remove the cataract on our eyes and the vision will become clear. And it is the same. If you are not able to see Swami in front of us, around us, with us, it is something that we have to do with the way we are seeing and experiencing things. Swami has clearly said, I am in front of you, I am behind you, I am around you, I am above you, below you, with you, in you. And the Aradhana Mahotsavam was truly a solemn and a very deep moment, a moment to reflect on how the one who took birth amidst us is beyond births. How the one who created himself as the beautiful form of Sri Satya Sai has recreated all of us too in beautiful ways, and the process is on. And we only get more inspired when we hear stories of those whose lives Swami has recreated in such stellar ways. And in the last 7 episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, we've been talking about one such stellar devotee, a diamond of a devotee, Mrs. Ratanlal. We began the series on March 8, 2018 and talked about how she came to Swami in 1965, her visit to Puttaparthi in 1966, Swami's visit to Mumbai and to her house in 1967, and then we talked about her role in the inauguration of the Vrindavan College in 1969, her deep involvement in the inauguration of the Anandpur College, the new building of the Anandpur campus in 1971, and how she started traveling with Bhagwan, how she started cooking for Bhagwan, which happened in the same year, 1971. The beautiful story of how Swami was waiting to be served by her. There's another very significant episode that happened in the December of 1970. For those familiar with Swami's life story, that is the period when suddenly Swami decided to go to Goa. In fact, Professor Kasturi was supposed to go on a side trip to Sri Lanka. Swami had approved it and they had fixed up engagements for his talks in this island of Sri Lanka. But Swami, in the last minute, mentions to Professor Kasturi and says that you come with me to Goa, cancel your trip to Sri Lanka. And that's what happens. Professor Kasturi accompanies Bhagwan to Goa, and he narrates in Satyam Shivam Sundaram how they reached Goa, traveling 587 kilometers over good and bad roads, and Swami looked lithe and lily-like, and he when they reached Goa, you know, he hastened up those red carpeted flight of 28 steps into the flower bedecked apartment of Koba Rajnivas, the residence of the Lieutenant Governor of Goa, Mr. Nakul Sen. He was hosting Bhagwan, a great devotee of the Lord. And how Swami did not have dinner that night, and how he sent everyone to bed, and he told them that he doesn't need anyone around him, and how he sent Nakul Sen actually wanted to be there outside Swami's door to look after Bhagwan, but Swami said, no, you go and take rest. Swami asked Professor Kasturi to go and take rest. So, but in the next morning, Swami did not come out for darshan. In fact, they used to send coffee or tea to Bhagwan at 6:30 in the morning, but Swami did not ask for it until 8 o'clock. Swami's door was not open, and later Swami wrote about it to Dr. Bhagwantam in a letter, and there Swami said, on that night, strange events happened. I could not lie in bed. I could not sit upon it. I could not turn from one side to another. I could not speak. I could not call anyone. I did not want to cause anxiety or trouble to anyone. So I just kept silent, pretending that everything was fine with me. In fact, Swami was indeed in great pain on December 8, 1970, on that night. And the next morning, Mr. Nakul Sen calls for the doctors, and they come and they check all the symptoms, and then they confirm that it is a case of appendicitis, and Swami was unwilling for any surgical intervention. They had prescribed so many medications, and they were coming up with new solutions every session, every hour, but Swami did not allow anything to touch his body. In fact, the doctors told Swami that he must be in a lot of pain, and Swami said, if I have to acknowledge that it is paining me, why would I have taken on myself such a thing? I have taken it with love, and love knows no pain. This is what Swami says to the doctors. But all the devotees were in a turmoil looking at Bhagwan's condition, and that is how the 8th of December went. The doctor were trying to put in some tubes into his body, but Swami flatly refused. In fact, Mr. Nakul Sen shared later, the doctors became very panicky. And he could see that, they were completely against what Swami was telling. The doctors were saying that, if you don't do whatever we are saying, then we will not be responsible for whatever happens to Sai Baba. But somehow, Mr. Nakul Sen said that there was a sixth sense that was telling me, assuring me that Swami is going to show one of his leelas in Goa. And he is, through his sankalpa, going to get rid of this trouble just as swiftly as he had assumed it. This is what was making Nakul Sen carry on with his day. He was convinced about it. This was what keeping him sane. And Swami had announced that on the 10th of December, people can assemble and he is going to come and give darshan and give a talk. So there are bhajans was scheduled in the government house at 4 p.m. on the 10th. And Swami had told them, everyone, that he will be there. And Mr. Nakul Sen now was worried because Swami was in such a bad shape. But at 5 p.m., Swami was led into the bathroom. And 20 minutes later, Swami came out of that room. He was clean shaven. He was wearing a new robe and he was fresh as a new blossomed rose. And Mr. Nakul Sen says, the leelas of the Lord are adbhut, unprecedented. They are romanchakari. They are exhilarating. They are madhumaya. They are sweet in memory. They are mangalmaya. They are only to promote the happiness and welfare of mankind. They are manoharini. They overpower the mind, and they are the ones. They convert the mind and lead it towards truth, towards beauty, towards goodness. They are anandamaya. They are the ones who fill us with bliss. That is how the leelas of the Lord are. So this is the beautiful leela that unfolded in that beautiful town of Goa, in the Raj Bhavan of Goa, in December 1970. And the illness later on, Swami, when he spoke, Swami said that the illness that you witnessed for the last 2 days, it was quite different. Swami said that was an illness taken over by me voluntarily, and I did it to save a victim who could not have survived it. And Swami said that person continues to exist now in good health, and I did a task that is very dear to me. Pouring grace on the devout is one of the functions of the avatar, Swami said. The appendix was inflamed. It turned into an abscess which the doctors could cure only by removal. Swami said that person could not have survived it. I have come with this body in order to save other bodies from pain. My body is ever free from pain. Disease can never affect it. You know, these are the words that also were going in one's mind as one was sitting in front of Bhagwan's Sannidhi on the Aradhana day. You know, because nothing can affect that divine personality, that divine self which took upon itself everything only for the welfare of mankind. And Swami said again in 1970, I had to go to the rescue of a person who had surrendered to me, who had surrendered even his judgment to me. I took over his illness and I experienced what he had to go through. Now he will never suffer from this disease again. And Swami says, you refer to this incident as a miracle, but remember, each one is a miracle. Everything that the Lord does is in fact a miracle. Swami said, every breath is a proof of the providence of God. Every event is the consequence of divine omnipotence. Wherever you find truth, beauty, goodness, justice, wisdom and compassion, there God is present and God is active. Swami, in fact, in that very beautiful discourse, continued to say, Swami said, an atheist denies God. And how does he deny God? With the same very breath that God has given him. How foolish. Swami says, the atheist closes the eyes that God has opened in him and declares that he sees no God. How preposterous is this? Swami said, all such amazing events have to be accomplished and made known to man everywhere. I have to do such spectacular things just so that mankind can be saved from this overfond involvement with the world, overfond attachment with the world, and so that mankind can be lovingly drawn towards the master of the world. That was the reason why Bhagwan enacted that episode, why Bhagwan took upon himself that disease, so that we can lose our fondness for the body and develop fondness for the one who is beyond the body and who is truly to be loved. December 10, 1970 was such a profound moment with such timely lessons, such pregnant lessons. And Swami continued to stay in Goa for many more days and he attended many more public functions. Swami left Goa on the 21st of December 1970. And that was quite a dramatic exit and not many people know about it. And this inside, the behind the scenes story was narrated to us by Mrs. Ratanlal, and that is where Mrs. Ratanlal comes into the picture here. In fact, you know, in all the major events of Bhagwan's life after 65, 66, you will find Mrs. Ratanlal's role. She was always in the background, but she was the one who was very deeply involved in many of the landmark occasions of the Sai Saga after the late 60s. She was always there, but she was always behind. She was always working in the background So what happened was, Swami said that he wants to go back to Mumbai, and the devotees in Mumbai were restless. They were waiting for Bhagwan's arrival. But the problem was, there was a strike of the pilots and the ground staff of the Indian Airlines. In those days, we didn't have many airlines. Indian Airlines was the government airline, and perhaps that was the only airline, or maybe there's one or two other airlines. We're talking about 1970s. And the airlines were not functioning, but Swami was saying that he's going to go to Mumbai. And Swami, in fact, was telling Mr. Nakulsen that my plane is coming, my plane is coming. And Mr. Nakulsen didn't understand which plane is coming, who is coming, how Bhagwan is going to travel, how will he make this journey. In fact, they were trying to persuade Bhagwan to sail, go by water, to sail by a steamer. But that meant that Swami had to spend long hours, cooped up in a vessel. But that was not something that was working out. Swami didn't show any inclination towards that journey. So they didn't know how Swami is going to travel. But Swami kept on saying, my plane is coming, my plane is coming. And at that point in time, Mrs. Ratanlal could not come to Goa when Bhagwan went, because Mr. Ratanlal's health was not good. But Mrs. Ratanlal was always in touch with Mr. Nakulsen, and she used to inquire about Bhagwan's condition. She heard about everything that had happened to Swami's health from Mr. Nakulsen. So she was constantly keeping a tab on what is happening, how is Bhagwan, and everything. And Mr. Nakulsen told Mr. Ratanlal that Swami keeps saying that my plane is coming, my plane is coming. And I don't know what to make of it. And when Mrs. Ratanlal heard this, she started getting into action. Swami, she called up J.R.D. Tata, the founder of the Tata Group. She knew all the high and mighty in Mumbai, because she herself, as I mentioned before, was a very dynamic business woman. She had a boutique where all the high net worth individuals used to come to buy clothes and jewels, and her husband was a chief whip of the Congress party, so she knew all the influential people in Mumbai. So she calls up J.R.D. Tata, because at that point in time only very few people had individual planes, their own private planes. So she asked J.R.D. Tata, who himself was entrepreneur, who was an aviator, but he said that the Tata private plane was out of order. So she tried to call Kailaspat Singhania. At that point in time, who belonged to that JK group of industries, again a very prosperous, very distinguished industrialist, and he said that his plane also is not working. Mr. Ratanlal tried to contact the Bajaj family. Their plane also was not available. Now she did not know what to do, where to get a plane. And interestingly, she also went to Mr. Poonachandra Kamani. Now Poonachandra Kamani was another industrialist, and when she went there, she saw that Mr. Kamani's brother had arrived from Chennai, and he had come along with the pilot of the Dakota plane. Now, there was a plane which used to transfer newspapers. One of India's national newspapers, on a daily basis, it used to go from Chennai, then Madras, to Mumbai. And Mr. Kamani's brother had come along with the pilot of this plane, who had just come to Mumbai. And Mr. Ratanlal was there talking about this problem of not finding a plane. And suddenly this pilot said, my plane is available. I can bring Sai Baba. This plane is available. And that is how, mysteriously things just fell in place. And Mrs. Ratanlal took that plane, and she immediately went and she readied that plane. And Mr. Kamani also came with Mrs. Ratanlal to Goa. And Mrs. Ratanlal, given how particular she is about anything to do with Swami, she completely cleaned the plane. She was there like an air hostess, completely doing up the plane so that it is fit enough, so that it is ready, so that it is in a shape to have Bhagwan in it. So she did all that work, and then she started flying to Goa. She was now to land in Goa. But the pilot said that, madam, we are not able to land now because the airport is not giving us permission. And Mr. Ratan Lal didn't know why that was happening, and there was no way she could reach from the air to Mr. Nakul Sen. She had informed Nakul Sen, but you know what had happened was Mr. Nakul Sen, because of all that confusion, he had not informed the airport that this plane is landing. So this plane came there and the plane was not getting any permission to land. And so the plane just went round and round. So the pilot finished one complete round, and as he was doing the second round, you know, he told Mr. Ratanlal, you know, Mr. Ratanlal, you keep talking about Sai Baba, Sai Baba. I don't know where is your Sai Baba. You go on tell Sai Baba is God, Sai Baba is God. But how do I land now? I'm telling you, this is the second round I'm taking. And after this, I will just take only one more round. And if we don't get clearance to land, I'm just going to go back to Pune. And Mrs. Ratanlal didn't know what to do. She just started crying to Swami, Swami, please, you have to help me. And the third round was happening. And, you know, when you think about it, she's just 2 kilometers away from the Raj Bhavan. The airport is so close to the residence of Mr. Nakul Sen, the Raj Bhavan. And she's just not able to land. And just as this was happening in the air, Swami tells Nakul Sen, Swami says, Nakul Sen, what is the time? Why has the plane not come? And that is when Mr. Nakul Sen calls up the airport and the airport says, sir, we have no orders. We have no permission to allow any plane to land. And the governor says, Nakul Sen, please, please, please allow that plane to land. Allow that. It's very important. Allow that plane to land. And that is how the plane gets the permission to land at the 11th hour. And the plane comes and Mrs. Ratanlal arrives along with Mr. Kamani. And that is how Swami leaves for Mumbai after an eventful stay in Goa. And again, Swami had given Mrs. Ratanlal another beautiful opportunity to be a part of his story. This was another occasion when Ratanlal was used by the Lord as his instrument in another amazing episode that unfolded. You know, the Goa episode is such a profound episode in Bhagwan's avataric life. It has so many deep lessons, and Mrs. Ratanlal, Swami wanted Mrs. Ratanlal to be associated with that event. And when you think about this episode, only 2 thoughts come to my mind: faith and prayer. Isn't that this episode is an elaboration of Ratanlal, Mrs. Ratanlal? In fact, if you see all the instances of Mrs. Ratanlal, it's everything is just a series of prayers. Everything is just a moment. You know how Swami gives her an opportunity to serve. Swami gives her the ability to serve. But Swami checks the intensity of her devotion. Always there are tests, but all those tests are converted by Mrs. Ratanlal into testimonies of his love, testimonies of his grace, testimonies of his karuna. And that is what this episode is all about, and that is what all the episodes of Mrs. Ratanlal's life is also all about. You know, everything is all about the Lord's karuna, but we have to have that intensity to get that karuna into our life, to draw that karuna into our lives.
Sharanam, Sai.
Such a beautiful bhajan, isn't it? You know, this bhajan has this phrase, Karuna Sadani Paratishwari Jagat Janani. In fact, when I think about this word Jagat Janani and I think about the life of Mr. Kamani, I just mentioned to you about how he came along with Mrs. Ratanlal in the plane and they traveled back to Mumbai. There's another very profound incident that happened in the October of 1972, and that concerns Mr. Poornachandra Kamani. In fact, for those not aware, Mr. Kamani was the chosen instrument of Bhagwan to build the Poornachandra Auditorium in Prashantinilayam, which has been the hall for so many spectacular events of the Sai Saga, be it the Lingodbhavam, be it the Vibhuti Abhishekam, be it the Summer Course. So many events have happened in the Poornachandra Auditorium. It's like an indelible part of the Sai mission, and Mr. Kamani was blessed by Bhagwan to be an instrument in the construction of this landmark hall. And he, of course, did a fantastic job of building that hall, such a huge hall, no pillars in between, so spacious, so airy. And imagine, this was built back in 1970s. It was not an easy job, but he did it with so much of dedication. He did it with so much of love for Bhagwan. And it was scheduled for inauguration during Dasara in 1972. And Mr. Kamani was preparing himself for the big day. He wanted to be there. You know, it meant to be there in Prashantilayam for that day meant so much to him. But Swami, for some reason, strange reason, was repeatedly telling Mrs. Ratanlal to send a telegram to Mr. Kamani saying that he should not come to Prashanti for that event, for the inauguration of the hall. Now, Mrs. Ratanlal didn't know how to execute this command of Bhagwan, because, you know, she was feeling really uncomfortable to send a message or to call Mr. Kamani and say that, you know, you are not invited. I mean, he is the one who built the hall, who has spent his time, energy, resources trying to make and offer this hall to Bhagwan. And on the inauguration day, how can you tell this person that you please don't be there anywhere near the hall? So she didn't know how to do this. She thought that, you know, Mr. Kamani definitely will misunderstand her. He will definitely think that, you know, how Swami will never do that. Swami, why will Swami tell him not to come? And Swami loves him so much. Swami gave him such a beautiful chance to build the hall, to participate in his mission. How will Swami say that Mr. Kamani should not be there? So Mrs. Ratanlal didn't know what to do, how to tell Mr. Kamani that please don't come for this event. But Swami was insisting every day. Swami was telling, did you send the message? Did you send the message? Mr. Kamani should not come for the function. And Mr. Ratanlal was really tense. He didn't know how to go about it. And finally she thought it's to wait till Mr. Ratanlal, till her husband arrives. And when her husband arrived, she asked her husband, at least going from, because Mr. Ratanlal and Mr. Kamani were friends, and, you know, maybe going not from a lady, but going from Mr. Ratanlal would be easier, and probably he will not misunderstand much. That is what Mr. Ratanlal felt. And she told this to Swami also. She said, Swami, I am asking my husband to send the message. And so that was done, and Mr. Kamani did not come to Prashantinilayam for the event he took it very sportively, and such was his love for Bhagwan, such was his commitment to Bhagwan, and such was his attachment and conviction in whatever Bhagwan says, that, you know, on that day, as the program was going on in Prashantilayam, as the Dasara celebrations was on, he assembled all the directors of his company, and he, during that meeting, he said that I have called you all to announce a decision. From now on, my involvement in the company is going to be much less. He said that I am moving to Bangalore. He said, this does not mean that I am resigning. I am relocating. I am going to Bangalore. I am relocating to be with Baba. I am going to be from now on with Baba. He said this and immediately collapsed. He said, I'm going to be with Baba, and he just fell off the chair. And in that instant, his soul had left the body. That is what is the life of Mr. Kamani, who built the Purnachandra Auditorium for the Lord. Bhagwan chooses his instruments. You know, these are people who have pined and prayed to the Lord to be a part of his story for not one janma, but for janmas, for births together. And Swami gives them that opportunity, and when their life's mission is fulfilled, Swami takes them back to himself. And interestingly, when this happened to Mr. Kamani, exactly at the same moment, Swami was walking in the procession. The Dasara celebration was starting. Swami was being taken in a procession, and the procession was from Mandir to the auditorium. The chief guest for the occasion was Mr. Mohanlal Sukhadia, the governor of Rajasthan, who was also a big friend of Mr. Kamani. And he was walking along with Bhagwan, and just behind the chief guest was Mr. Kutumb Rao, the then secretary of the ashram, and Mr. Ratanlal. So they were all part of the procession. And, you know, they were within earshot of Swami. And Swami suddenly turned towards them, to Mr. Kutumb Rao and Mr. Ratanlal, and said, Kamani has come. And Mr. Kutumb Rao, who was the secretary of the ashram and who was responsible for accommodation in those days, he immediately said, but Swami, there is no room. We don't have any spare room, because in those days, you know, they had very, very few rooms. Accommodation facilities in the ashram was really minimal. So that was how he immediately reacted. He said, Swami, there is no room. And Swami just signaled to him, hey, keep quiet, don't say anything. And that's how the procession went on. And the program concluded, and, you know, the governor, Mr. Sugadia, the governor, he went back to the government guest house, and Mr. Ratanlal returned to his room, and, you know, he fell asleep. They were all very tired, but it was a long session in the morning. And at 2:30 p.m., suddenly, there is a knock on their door saying that there is a lightning call from Mumbai. So there was summons from the post office to go and see a message which was urgent. So Mrs. Ratanlal was awake, so she ran to the post office. And on the other end of that call, you know, in those days you didn't have telephones, so the post office had this one phone. And on the other end of the call, there was Mr. Kamani's brother, Mr. Rasiklal. And he said, Mrs. Ratanlal, my brother is no more. Mr. Kamani is no more. And Mrs. Ratanlal didn't know how to react. She was speechless. And Mr. Rasiklal continued and said, in our custom, in the Jain tradition, we have to immediately remove the body for the last rites. But the problem is, Mrs. Kamani, Mrs. Sumitra Kamani, they used to call her lovingly Sumitra Ben, she is holding on to the body. She is not allowing us to take the body. She is not allowing us to do anything with that body. She is saying that Swami has blessed me as Sada Sumangali. Swami told me that I will always have a married life. Swami has blessed me with that blessing of Sada Sumangali, that my marriage will always be intact. And Swami has brought Mr. Kavan back to life. In the previous episode, dear listeners, I mentioned to you in detail the story of Mr. Walter Kavan and how Swami resurrected Mr. Kavan. Again, such a fantastic story. So that had happened just few months ago. You know, that had happened in the December of 1971, and we are talking about October 1972. So Mrs. Kamani, Sumitra Ben, she is telling Swami, she is sort of telling others that Swami brought Mr. Kavan back to life, so he will bring Kamani also back to life. So she was not allowing them to take the body. So Mr. Rasiklal was asking Mrs. Ratanlal, you tell Swami what we have to do. The body is dead. She is not allowing us to take the body. And according to our Jain customs, we have to immediately take the body. Tell us what we should do. Please ask Swami and inform us what should be our action. And Mrs. Ratanlal, when she heard this, it took her so much time first to compose herself. It was a big shock. And now she had to tell this to her husband, Mr. Ratanlal, who was a heart patient. And she was thinking how to tell him, because they were close friends. She was afraid that, you know, he should not be shocked, and, you know, and he should not just collapse or anything of that nature, because this was such a shock to everyone. So she quietly woke up Mr. Ratanlal, gave him a glass of water, and told, you know what, please compose yourself, be alert. I'm going to tell you something very serious. You know, you freshen up, you be fresh, and you be prepared. Be prepared for what I'm going to tell you. This may shock you, but this is what has happened. You have to now go and tell Swami about it. That is the reason why I'm telling you now. But don't be shocked. Don't be in a panic. Listen to me. This is the news. Mr. Poonachandra Kamani is no more. And when Mr. Ratanlal heard this, he immediately just fell back on the chair, and he was definitely shocked. He was silent for so many minutes. He didn't know how to react. And then Mr. Ratanlal said, you know, there is no time to think. You have to go and tell Swami. This is very important. And Mr. Ratanlal said, but how do we do? Swami's door will be closed now. This is, you know, in the afternoon. Swami is not available at this point in time. But Mr. Ratanlal says, you please go and you wait there. The moment Swami opens the door, you have to inform him. So Mr. Ratanlal goes there. And interestingly, as Mr. Ratanlal was just climbing the steps leading to Swami's room, he heard Bhagwan's door open, the latch opening. Swami opened the door, and immediately Mr. Ratanlal communicated the news, and Swami said, I know. Didn't I tell you? Kamani has come while walking in the procession. And that is when it struck Mr. Ratanlal. This is exactly what Swami had told. Kamani has come. And the secretary of the ashram thought that he has to provide accommodation. But Swami had already given him accommodation in his heart. Swami said, didn't I tell you Kamani has come? And then Swami said, you go and tell Mrs. Kamani that it is Swami's instruction that the body should be cremated. She should let the body go. And so, Mr. Ratanlal came back, and, you know, in those days of poor communication system, with a lot of difficulty, with many lightning calls later, they were able to communicate the message. But that evening, Swami appeared very concerned and very worried, seemingly concerned and worried. You know, Swami told to Mrs. Ratanlal and called Mr. Ratanlal and said, if Mrs. Kamani comes here, what shall we do? Swami asked Mrs. Ratanlal, because Swami knew that she would be absolutely devastated, and if she comes here, you know, we don't know in what state she will be in, and you know what scenes she might create here. So Swami asked Mrs. Ratanlal, what shall we do if she comes here? And Mrs. Ratanlal said, Swami, the best thing is if you permit me, I will go to Mumbai and I will be with her and I will look after her. And I will bring her to Prashanti only when she is fine and she is composed and she is at least manageable. Only then I will bring her to Prashanti. Swami said, okay, very good, very good. You go to Mumbai. And so that day itself, she went. So the next morning, this was in the evening, afternoon, late afternoon and evening. So the next morning, she went to Bangalore from Puttaparthi to take a flight to go to Mumbai. She went to the airport. At that point in time, Bangalore had a very small airport. In fact, Bangalore did not have its airports of its own. It was the airport of the HAL company. The Hindustan Aeronautics Limited had an airport, and that is the airport that was used by the Bangalore city too. So she purchased the ticket, and she was waiting in the lounge for her flight. And that is when she saw the flight from Mumbai arrive. And to her utter surprise, she sees who walking out of the plane. It is Mrs. Kamani, her son, along with a nurse. Mrs. Kamani, her nurse, and a son. And immediately Mrs. Ratanlal went and she cancelled her ticket. She welcomed Mrs. Kamani and, you know, she took them to a hotel in Bangalore. And she was with her. And every day she took Mrs. Kamani to Vrindavan. And Mrs. Kamani every day was to pester Mrs. Ratanlal. Let's go to Puttaparthi. She wanted to see Swami and she wanted to ask Swami, how could this happen? How could Swami take away her husband? She was so distraught. She wanted to go to Swami, but Mrs. Ratanlal said, how will I take you to Swami? You're crying, you're howling. I cannot take you to Swami if you're in this state. The Dasara program is going on, celebrations are going on there, and you know, it is not fair to take you to Swami if you're like this. You have to first compose yourself. I will take you to Swami only when I am convinced. Only if you can promise me that you will behave properly, that, you know, you will not create a scene there. There are so many people there, so much of public there. And so, after 2-3 days of being with her, on the third day, finally, Mrs. Kamani says, I promise you, you know, I will not do anything that is embarrassing for anyone. Let us go to Puttaparthi. And so they come to Puttaparthi. And when they come, Mrs. Ratanlal sends word to Bhagwan, and Swami asked her to come to his bedroom, and there Bhagwan asked Mrs. Ratanlal, how is she? How is Mrs. Kamani? And Mrs. Ratanlal says, Swami, she's in a bad shape. What is really troubling her is that you told her Sada Sumangali. You blessed her with that blessing. Have a blessed married life. And now she is only asking, when Swami gave me this word, how could this happen to me? This is what is bothering her. And Swami heard everything and Swami told Mrs. Ratanlal, you bring her to me at 7:30 p.m. And so Mrs. Ratanlal brings Mrs. Kamani to Bhagwan. And on that first encounter, you know, when Mrs. Kamani is there with Bhagwan, she doesn't speak a word. She's only crying. And looking at the way she was crying and the way she was completely mad, completely so devastated, you know, there was tears in Swami's eyes too. And it was only tears. Tears in Kamani's eyes, tears in Swami's eyes, but there was no other talk, nothing. Swami just placed his hand on her head And she continued to cry and cry and cry for 15 minutes. She was just crying, and Swami just kept his hand on Mrs. Kamani's head. And after a while, she became quiet. And then Swami told Mr. Ratanlal, take her back. So that's how they come back. And after that, every evening, they used to go to the mandir. And Mrs. Kamani used to be with Swami. And Swami, there would be no talking. She would just be in the presence, and Swami would only just touch her head. Swami would bless her. Swami would not speak a word. She would also not speak a word. And that is how 2 months were spent in Prashanthi Lehem, just offloading that sorrow, just being in Swami's presence and just crying in his presence. That is what happened for nearly 2 months, and slowly she was composing herself, but it took so much of effort. And finally, after 60 days of being with Swami, she was in a position to speak. And that day she told Mrs. Ratanlal, today I am going to ask Swami, how could he give me that boon of Sada Sumangali? And how could my husband die? And that evening, she confronted Swami and said, Swami, you gave me the boon of Sada Sumangali. How did this happen to me? Swami just looked at her. His gaze was unperturbed. Swami just asked Mrs. Kamani, who is a devotee? Who is a bhakta? What is the meaning of a devotee? Whom can we call a devotee? And Mrs. Kamani said, Swami, a devotee is one who is attached to God, who is connected to God, who has God in his life. That person is a devotee. Swami asked again, okay, who is a husband? And Mrs. Kamani again thought for a while and said, Swami, husband is one who takes care, who protects. He's like a companion. And then Swami asked her again, tell me, who is the real protector? Who is the one who takes care of you completely? Who is your real companion? Who is the one who looks after everyone, not only you, but everyone? And then Swami said, I am the protector of everyone. I am Bhakta Jana Samrakshaka. I am the protector of all my devotees. And I am the permanent companion. And that is the reason why you are Sada Sumangali. You are all the time Sumangali, because you have me in your life. And I am there all the time, everywhere. Swami, in fact, added, when you were doing Narayan Seva as the final rites, I did not send you white sari, if you remember. I sent you a red sari. And you wore that sari and did the funeral rites. You served all the poor. Swami said, when you are connected to me in devotion, you are Sada Sumangali. And what is marriage? Swami said, true marriage is union with God. And Swami even said, that is the reason why I always ask you to wear a bindi. You wear the bindi. Wear that dot on your forehead, which shows that you have someone in your life, and someone who is eternal. In fact, this reminds me of how Swami used to say that Krishna had 16,000 Gopikas, and people think of it in so many ways, but Swami said, how do you think these 16,000 Gopikas happen? Swami said, Krishna rescued all these ladies who were tortured and who were imprisoned by Kamsa. because Krishna rescued them, Krishna was their protector, their master, and all these ladies said, we have you, Krishna, you are our protector, you are our master, you are our benefactor, you are our everything. We are yours. And when they said, Krishna, we are yours, Krishna said, yes, you are mine. And that is the reason why they all had Krishna in their lives. And that is how Krishna was their Lord. And that is how Krishna had 16,000 gopikas. Krishna, and that is how there is no one who is a widow in the world. In fact, Swami says, there is no one who is anatha in this world. If there is anyone who is anatha, anyone who is orphan, it is actually, Swami says, it is only the Lord, because everyone has the Lord in their lives. Every woman is Sadha Sumangali. There is no one who is anatha. In fact, in Prashantilam, Swami never encouraged women who did not have husbands to dress in a different way or be treated in any other manner. And we don't, and we do this not because, you know, it is done in another country which is a progressive nation and all that. Not because, you know, women are equal to men or similar theories of modern feminists. We do it because there is God in our lives. We do it because our true companion is always there with us. And our true companion is one who loves us like the way nobody in the world can love us. We do it because we are attached to the one who can, the only one who can make us feel complete. And who is all the time there. Who is our permanent well-wisher. And who can love us more than anybody in this world can love us. Instead of thinking of our soulmate, we should think of our soul. They say, mate, think of the soul, don't think of the soulmate. Because our soul is our true companion. Our soul is Sai, and our Sai is with us. And He is our soul, He is our prana, He is our constant, best well-wisher, and the greatest friend we can ever have. He is our bestest friend, as they say. And that is the reason why, you know, we sing Prana Sakha Bhagavan. He is Prana Sakha. Is the only true Sakha of our lives, of our being, of our existence. In fact, whenever this line comes in the bhajan, it fills you with so much of deep connect with Bhagavan, isn't it?
O Sai Mere Prana Sakha Bhagavan. O Sai Mere Prana Sakha Bhagavan. माता पिता गुरु बंधु तुम हो माता पिता गुरु बंधु तुम हो भक्त सखा भगवान दीन सखा भगवान 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 भगवान
So that is the most beautiful learning that Swami gave to Mrs. Ratanlal. You know, through this episode, even as Swami was consoling Mrs. Kamani, Swami was constantly training Mrs. Ratanlal for this, because in times to come, Mrs. Ratanlal also lost her husband, but Swami had prepared her for this, you know, through all these experiences. You know, Mrs. Ratanlal, after this experience, was someone who connected to Swami as her soul, who connected to Swami as her only companion. And that is the reason why, you know, when her husband predeceased her, she was completely fine, because she had developed such a deep connect with Bhagwan. And not only was she so firmly established, she ensured that so many others like her also developed that connect. There were so many women. She was such a pillar of support too. There are so many women, just like Mother Isharama used to help and support and guide and be that pillar of support for so many ladies. Mr. Ratanlal also used to do the same. It was this training, thanks to all these experiences that Swami gave her, she was able to help, guide, provide solace to so many women, especially people who expected Swami to behave in a particular way and Swami did not behave, and how to understand the Lord, how to still experience the love of the Lord. That is the training that Swami was giving Mrs. Ratanlal. And if you look at one more very beautiful thing, Swami says, you know, He will never speak anything inauspicious. Swami, even though Swami knew what was going to happen, even though Swami told Mr. Kamani not to come, Swami knew what was in future for each one of them in that drama, Swami did not say anything that is inauspicious. You know, Swami always says that is good. I have seen so many occasions, even if somebody is not fine, not going to recover, Swami will say, he will be fine. Swami says, I will never say anything that is inauspicious. God will never say anything that is not good. And what we think is not good is what we think that is not good. But everything is good. Everything is auspicious. Who knows, that was the best thing to happen to Mr. Kamani. That is perhaps the best thing to happen to that soul. God does only auspicious things. There is nothing that God does which is inauspicious, because He is the embodiment of auspiciousness. He is only auspiciousness. So He does all the time only what is good for the soul, because He is the colossus of goodness. So this is what Swami is, and this is how we should try to understand His actions, try to take what happens to us in our lives. Once we have God in our lives, how firm we should be, how positive we should be, and how steady we should be in our love for the Lord. Swami was training Mrs. Ratanlal in all this, even as He was preparing her for greater responsibilities and greater tasks in His mission. Mr. Kamani created that beautiful house for the Lord to use, and the Lord created a beautiful house in His heart for Him forever. That is the story of Mr. Poornachandra Kamani, and that is the way Swami trained Mrs. Ratanlal. And in the coming episodes, I'll share with you many such amazing instances, many such tales where Swami so amazingly trained, tested and trained and transformed and continued to polish that diamond that Mrs. Ratanlal is forever. So dear listeners, in the coming episodes, there is so much more to learn from this diamond of a devotee, Mrs. Ratanlal. And I pray to Bhagwan that He guides us, that we learn from her life, so that we too can shine in His splendor. We too can be the devotee that He wants us to be, that we too can become at least a tiny instrument in His hands, in His glory. We too can become a part of His melody. Thank you so much. Saram.
तुम हो अनाथनाथ भगवान, तुम हो अनाथनाथ भगवान, ओ साईं मेरे प्राण सखा भगवान, ओ साईं मेरे प्राण सखा भगवान, मात पिता गुरु बंधु तुम हो, मात पिता गुरु बंधु तुम हो, भक्त सखा भगवान, दीन सखा भगवान, भगवान 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 प्राण सखा भगवान, ओ साईं मेरे प्राण सखा भगवान, तुम हो अनाथनाथ भगवान, साईं मेरे प्राण सखा भगवान, मात पिता गुरु बंधु तुम हो, भक्त सखा भगवान, दीन सखा भगवान, भगवान 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 प्राण सखा भगवान, ओ साईं मेरे प्राण सखा भगवान, तुम हो अनाथ नाथ भगवान।